who died in the collision is suspected of sending and receiving text messages while driving the train. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three Praise and Worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Back here at the American Freedom Network, and this morning we have as our special guest Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, and we're going to be talking about the amazing Constitution which we have. It is what separates the United States from any other nation in the world. It is a document that is written based upon the teachings of the Declaration of Independence, which for all intents and purposes is the preamble to the Constitution, which states that we have certain God-given rights and that governments are instituted among men to preserve those God-given rights. Now, this is not what's taught in our schools today, because there are people who want to establish a dictatorship in America. They don't want to amend our Constitution to get their programs through. They simply ignore the Constitution. These people are subversive, and unfortunately, they are in control of both of our political parties through what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, there are means of changing our Constitution if the public wants to, but the elitists know that the public want to maintain freedom. They want to maintain our sovereignty. They do not want to mold us into or move us into a one-world government. And they certainly don't want to use the federal government to destroy Christianity, which was the very foundation upon which the freedoms of our country rest. And so, of course, through devious means and by controlling the media and by controlling the educational system and by controlling the courts, why they have systematically, step by step, moved us away from individual freedom under God towards all power being centralized with government at the local, state, and certainly at the national level, doing all sorts of unconstitutional things. And it is because people do not understand the Constitution that they get away with it. These people violate our laws. The federal government tells us how we'll have our elections, and then they bring in rigged voting machines so that their candidates will get elected. Our voting is not free today. It's not accurate. I mean, you can rig the voting machines, and they know that, and we need to get back to paper ballots. We need to get back to the simple precepts that once made America the envy of the world, and that is fear of God and love of freedom. Well, with that as a background, David Whitney, pick up the story of our Constitution.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's always a privilege to be with you and your great audience. We were discussing the preamble last month, and I'd like to just pick up there again because it's so important to remember what those words mean in the preamble. We the people. It shows that governmental powers really derive from the consent of the government. Excuse me, consent of the governed. I got that backwards there. It's consent of the governed. It's we the people that determine what powers our civil government on the local, state, as well as the federal level, will have. And today it's backwards, where government basically tells us, hey, these are the powers that we have, and you had better submit, you better do whatever we tell you to do. So we have the power to tell you, as Washington, D.C. now does, here's how much water you can flush down your toilet. Wait a minute. They have no right to act that way unless we have given them power to make such a decision for us. We the People also shows that the framers' view of civil government was a covenantal view. That is, we have entered a covenant together, we the people, in creating our civil government. Our civil government did not exist as they signed the Declaration of Independence in July of 1776. When they signed that, they effectively abolished the existing government. And for a little period of time there, no government existed in America. It was only came into existence as the peoples in each of the several states crafted their own state constitutions, and then ultimately they put together the Articles of Confederation, and then the Articles of Confederation were replaced by the Constitution. It's we the people who have created our civil government, and of course we created our civil government to be our servant, as the Declaration says, to serve us in protecting, securing our God-given rights, the first three of which are life, liberty, property, including all of our economic freedoms in the phrase, the pursuit of happiness. So it's we the people that basically are in the driver's seat. And yet today, most Americans believe it's the other way around. The government decides whatever it's going to do. It's going to pass this bill. It's going to pass, right now they're debating hate crimes, and they're going to criminalize Christians for speaking the truth of what God's word says. And all these things are, wait a minute, the government's way out of line. Why? These are things we the people have not granted our civil government the power to do. In other words, we have only granted them very limited areas of jurisdiction and power. And then the preamble proceeds to set out the purposes for which the government is formed. And again, these really don't grant our civil government any specific power, but they do tell us the direction and the purpose for which we the people put together this Constitution. First of all, is to form a more perfect union. That is, the union already existed. The union of the 13 colonies that became 13 states existed under the Articles of Confederation. And there was a great deal of problems that we've discussed in previous programs with the Articles of Confederation that didn't work as well as they needed to work for securing the life, liberty, and property of all the citizens in each of the several states. And so to end some of the issues and problems there and the disunity that existed, to form a more perfect union was one of the purposes for this Constitution. The second was to establish justice. Now, consider what that immediately assumes. It assumes that there is an absolute, unchanging, fixed standard of what is right and what is wrong. What was that standard for our founders? Very clearly, they stated in the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and nature's God, by which they were referring to the Bible. And if you doubt that that is an accurate statement, you just need to read the law professor that all of our founders look to as the final authority in terms of interpreting and understanding. That's William Blackstone, who said three forms of law. There's the laws of nature, that is human conscience and human reason. The laws of nature's God, that second phrase refers to revealed law, which is the Bible, as Blackstone very clearly says. And then there's municipal law, that is a law that a human being writes, and Blackstone added, of course, that municipal law is only valid if it is in full agreement with the first two, with the laws of nature and nature's God. If it is a law created that violates what the Bible says is law and just, it is not a law at all. So, for example, the hate crimes bill being considered by the Senate right now, that bill is obviously a violation of God's law because it says you cannot preach or teach that homosexuality is a wicked abomination without facing all kinds of serious penalties and maybe even prison time. So It's not a law at all, according to our founders, if it violates the laws of nature and nature's God.
Well, we're going to be back in just a moment, David, with here at the American Freedom Network. Just hang on there.
Have a party, wedding, graduation, summer reunion, backyard birthday, or a backyard get-together to plan? We'll make sure that occasion is extra special and find all of your party needs at Grand Rental Station. Don't go anywhere else for your canopies, chairs, tables, bounce houses, and dunk tanks. Grand Rental Station has it all. When planning your next event, be sure to add Grand Rental Station staff of expert consultants to your list for the very best in service and advice. Call your local Grand Rental Station now at 970-532-0144 in Johnstown. The very place for everything to rent. That's Grand Rental Station, 970-532-0144.
Everybody with a yard probably has something buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talkie tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, want a bottle?
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon? Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best-maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. Vegetation that's dead or dying. Or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate. And don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately and call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney, talking about the Constitution and something that should be taught in our schools. It's not taught, not the real meaning of the Constitution, not the idea that the power of the central government is to be limited by the chains of the Constitution, take the chains off the people, put the chains onto the politicians and onto government so that you limit the power of government so men could be free. But there have always been those who wanted to expand their power over our lives. They've been here since the beginning of the country. Now they're in total power of and control of both political parties. Go right ahead, David.
And so the second purpose we were talking about was to establish justice. And that fixed standard of justice, unchanging standard of justice, is God's word, the supreme law of the universe, laws of nature and nature's God, as our founders clearly expounded it. And so if there is to be a just system and a just law, it must comport completely with God's law. Anything outside of it is no law. It's lawless. It's a violation of our basic system of justice, which means we as Christians need to be studying the Bible to understand what God's law clearly says. That if we don't understand God's law, then we don't have any way of evaluating if the laws being enacted by our civil government are indeed a violation or in keeping with what is truly just. So that was the second purpose, to establish justice. The third purpose was to ensure domestic tranquility. The purpose here was to prevent insurrections, and there not only was it insurrection, there was further threatened insurrections under the Articles of Confederation, and our founders believe that they were not handled in the best way possible, and that a better system of handling them could be devised by our Constitution. The fourth purpose for the Constitution was to provide for the common defense. The framers believed in a defense system, and that they believed that each individual state would have a hard time defending itself. You see, arrayed against our young nation at that time was both the Spanish powers and the French powers, as well as the English powers. After all, they re-attacked us in the War of 1812, perhaps attempting to accomplish what they failed to accomplish in the War for Independence. And so the European powers were vying for what was going on in the New World, because they recognized it was a great source of revenue for them. And so the likelihood that America, if it was disunited, that is 13 separate little countries that did not band together in a covenant to defend one another if an attack came, it would be very unlikely that they would survive. They would be conquered by one of the European powers. So they recognized that together, the 13 of the states together, could provide for the common defense and protect them from being overrun and overtaken by any of the European powers that might attempt expanding their own empires in the New World. Well, the fifth reason is to promote the general welfare. Now, notice it says promote the general welfare, not provide for the general welfare. There's a big difference between promoting and providing. Providing means you directly give funds and so forth to make that happen. Secondly, in this phrase, we also need to note that it says the general welfare. And the general welfare must never be confused with the specific welfare. For example, if I said, well, I have a tremendous bill that needs to be considered by Congress, you know, they're bailing out these banks and all these other folks, well, I'm just going to ask for a small amount of money compared to the trillions in bailouts they're giving to my favorite charity, the Pastor David Whitney Charity. I'd like $1 billion, you know. I would do a lot of good with that $1 billion. I could buy property. I could get a fleet of vehicles and even aircraft. And, you know, I could spend a lot of money, and that would stimulate the economy. It would maybe help out the ailing automotive business, or help out the plane, the airline business. You know, I could spend that $1 billion. And why not give that $1 billion to me? Well, of course, everybody said that was foolish. That's obviously promoting the specific welfare of David Whitney. Well, that's what happens whenever the government chooses either one industry or one business. Let's help out GM, let's help out Chrysler, let's help out one of the banks or a bunch of the banks. Whenever they get into this business of specific welfare, whether it's geographically helping one area of the country, let's help out the area affected by Katrina, or in any way doing something that only specifically helps part of the country or a group of people in a certain socioeconomic range or a certain age range, such as Social Security, etc. You know, whenever it does specific welfare, it is violating the essential purpose for which our Constitution was drafted. And I dare say, I think it was Heritage Foundation did a study that claimed that over 90% of every dollar spent in Washington, D.C. is unconstitutional. And the vast majority of those unconstitutionally spent dollars are spent on the specific welfare. I mentioned Social Security earlier. Well, people like to think that Social Security is a good program, but it's a violation of this because you're taking from one age group and you're taking money, a significant chunk of money from them, and giving it to another age group. It's not a savings plan like they originally said it was going to be. No, it's basically taking from one group of citizens, redistributing that wealth, and giving it to another group of citizens based upon their age. This is specific welfare. It is not promoting the general welfare. So, again, this is one of the purposes. As we get into the details of the Constitution, we'll see there's a couple of phrases in the Constitution that have been so severely perverted that they have led to the basic turning on its head of our entire Constitution. Our Constitution is not ever intended to promote the specific welfare of any group. This is part of the problem in our country. So many people are involved in some aspect of receiving specific welfare for themselves. Okay, you're a student going to college. You're getting some government grant, some government loan, some specific welfare to you. You don't want to give up your specific welfare program. You'd like other people to give up their specific welfare program. Maybe you want the retirees with Social Security. They should give up their specific welfare, but not me. No, what has to happen is all Americans need to realize a system of government which steals from one person to give to another person is bad for everybody. It benefits no one in the long run and leads to destruction and really to class warfare, to age warfare, to hatred within the society of the people who are on the losing end of that bargain. And we all need to recognize that whenever government takes money from us to give it to somebody else, supposedly, it keeps a large chunk of money for itself in the bureaucratic red tape through which that money has to pass before it ever reaches the recipient. If we were simply to give it from ourselves to that recipient directly, there would be far less money lost in the process. And furthermore, we would be the ones, the individual, in control of how that welfare was handled, which is why, biblically, welfare is only in the realm of the family, first and foremost. It's the family that has to take care of the poor that are in their blood relations. And only secondarily, if someone has no family, then the church is to help out. And welfare is never the business of the civil government. Well, that is the fifth purpose here, to promote the general welfare. And the sixth purpose was to secure the blessings of liberty. Now, let's pause there, because the word blessings implies that there's some being handing those blessings to us. It's not some amorphous non-entity that doesn't exist that somehow brings blessings to us. No, it is a specific one. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who brings blessings. And Scripture, God's Word, is very clear about how a nation will experience the blessings of God's Word, that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And consequently, the opposite is true. Cursed is the nation that does not have the Lord as its God, as its one to whom it worships and serves. So the very fact that they use blessings here, and I've tried to argue this with those who claim that, oh, we've got a non-Christian or a secular constitution that has no religious references to Christianity in it. Well, wait a minute. Why do you use this term blessing here, particularly blessing as our founders understood it? It comes from the Almighty God, specifically the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say the blessings of liberty. And Scripture speaks about the blessings of liberty. It says in Galatians chapter 6, you know, do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That there's a great blessing if we walk in liberty. But liberty is founded upon the work of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. Without Jesus Christ, there is no liberty. Everyone winds up being a slave of whoever has the most power. It's only those who are in Christ that can understand that there is equality among fellow believers, that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither Greek nor Scythian, there's neither slave nor free, and there's an equality before the law that happens because we are enjoying the blessings of liberty brought to us by Jesus Christ. Well, they go on to say to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves, that is, that generation of people, as they were forming the Constitution, they wanted the blessings of liberty. But not just to themselves and their own generation, they continued to say, and our posterity. That is, they were concerned for the future generations, the generations yet unborn, that they too would have the experience of great liberty. It shows that our framers, they had a fundamental concern for liberty because they had experienced the opposite. They had experienced tyranny under King George III, and they knew that what was happening in France at that very day, the bloodbath that's called the French Revolution, was not liberty. It was tyranny in a French dress, basically. It was a bloodbath that was taking place. That was not the blessings of liberty at all. And so they were concerned that this be a permanent document that would secure liberty, not just for themselves, but for future generations, which may imply a protection of the unborn. After all, how can you secure the life of the unborn, or the generations yet to be born, if you say that their life can be snuffed out at whim, which is basically what Roe v. Wade has stated, that these unborn generations have no rights whatsoever, we can kill them at will, and they have no God-given right to life, and our Constitution doesn't protect them from such murder. Well, wait a minute. Right here in the preamble it says that we're concerned of the blessings of liberty. One of the blessings of liberty is the protection of your God-given right to life. Well, then why is our federal government not protecting that God-given right to life of the future generation, of the posterity referred to here in the preamble to the Constitution? Something's wrong, and desperately wrong, with that Supreme Court as it met. Blackmun wrote his wicked opinion, Roe v. Wade. It is obvious that he and the other justices that sided with him did not understand the Constitution. Or if they did understand it, they chose to violate it, which should clearly have been grounds by which the Congress then impeached them and the Senate removed them from office. That would have brought the evil scourge of abortion to end very quickly. Had Congress done its job, Had the House and the Senate done their job, removed those justices, abortion would have been ended right there in 1973. But we have a Congress and a Senate so beholden to those Supreme Court justices that they wouldn't even dare dream of the idea of impeaching these wicked murderers whose blood of 50 million innocent babies is on the hand of those wicked black-robed murderers in the Supreme Court. Well, in order to set forth these six purposes, the Constitution was created, and then they go on to say that they ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America. Again, demonstrating the covenantal nature of this civil government authority. And we need to remember that the preamble here is simply stating purposes. It grants no specific powers to the federal government, just the purposes, and it's brief because really, Dr. Stan, as you said earlier in the program, the Declaration of Independence is actually the preamble for our Constitution. How do we know that? We know that because the Declaration states the why of civil government. The Constitution really states the how, the nuts and bolts of how it works. And so they were not about to spend time restating it. In fact, they simply refer to it. We'll see in the subscription clause at the very end in Article 7, they refer to the Declaration of Independence very clearly. I had a debate with a history professor here in Maryland a couple of years back on Constitution Day, September 17th, and his argument was that the Declaration and the Constitution had virtually nothing to do with each other, that these the years that intervened between 1776 and 1887 when the Constitution was ratified, those years brought about such a dramatic change in the thinking and so forth and so on, blah, 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 blah. All lies. And as a history professor, of course, he's promoting those lies to the minds of the young in our land, that they would come to believe his lies rather than what our founders clearly said. They clearly referred to the Declaration in the Constitution, and furthermore, everything they state in the Constitution is absolutely dependent upon the Declaration. How can you have justice if you don't have a God who has established a standard for justice?
Well, we'll be back this moment with Pastor David Whitney right here.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment. Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the KHNC discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK.
RDS Environmental in Lafayette salutes all our area students and graduates for their accomplishments. With prom night and graduation right around the corner, sometimes common sense and safety get pushed aside. Parents, talk to your kids and remind them about the dangers of drinking and driving. That message, courtesy of RDS Environmental at 1365 Forest Park Circle in Lafayette. Call 303-444-5253. That's 303-444-5253 for RDS Environmental in Lafayette, where Tammy and her staff are on the air because they care.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and certainly before we go on, David, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution and learn more and learn how to put on a program to teach others, because we have to educate the American people. We're in a race against time. The other side is intent upon a dictatorship. They're moving very rapidly. And if we're not involved, we're not in the race. Go right ahead.
Yes, actually, we've put together what we call a host kit, because I know it's a little intimidating for people to think about themselves teaching others the Declaration, Constitution, and Bill of Rights. And this host kit contains lectures by constitutional law professor John Eismo, 12 lectures, a student notebook that is a detailed outline of each of those lectures, as well as test questions at the end of those lectures. And the host kit includes a host manual that gives the one leading that class all the answers to the test questions, suggested format for conducting the class, and everything they need, basically, in a turnkey way to put a class on in their church or in their home or sometime in a community hall. I know there's a group here in Maryland going to gather in a library, another group going to gather in a space made available in an auto dealership that said, yes, bring people into my auto dealership to study the Constitution. Maybe they'll buy a car as well. But, you know, there's creative ways in which you can take this message to your community. And the host kit is available. You could purchase it online if you go to our web store, which is iotconline.com. That web address, again, is iotconline.com. And right at the top of the page, you'll see order a host kit. You can click that button there and place an order for that. Or if you want to call rather than order it over the web, just call us toll-free here at Institute on the Constitution. Our toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And another feature we're now offering is that our course that is in that host kit can also be taken online. That is, if you have broadband, then you can watch the videos online streaming to your computer. And to do that, go to our website, and you'll see, when you go to iotconline.com, you'll see a button there, online course. Just click that, and you can sign up. You'll receive an email and the process by which you could take that course online. But we encourage you to, after you take it online for yourself personally, conduct a class, because we need to spread this message. As you said, Dr. Stan, time is late, and the enemy has a big lead on us, but it's not beyond the possibility of restoring and recovering our constitutional republic. But we need every citizen actively working on this, and the most important way you do this is first educating your fellow citizens. So get a host kit, gather a group of people together this summer, go through the class, and then each one of them should be encouraged themselves to get a host kit and then do a class with the circle of people that they're in contact with, because if we can spread this among those Americans who truly want liberty and want freedom and want the things that our founders worked so hard for and many of them bled and died for, if we want to restore the republic, we can do it, but each of us needs to take action. Let me just give you that toll-free number again. For Institute on the Constitution, it's 866-730-9796. Well, going back to the preamble, the preamble's brief because actually the Declaration of Independence sets forth the basic ideals of our nation, and in true form, it is the preamble to our Constitution. It's what you must read first to understand what follows, and that's why in our course we study the Declaration first and then move on to look at the details of the Constitution itself. Well, when we open beyond the preamble, when we open Article 1, it's helpful to see a little bit of the structure of our Constitution. Article 1 deals with the legislative branch, Article 2 with the executive branch, Article 3 with the judicial branch. So if you're looking for answers to questions about the legislative branch, you want to go to Article 1, executive branch, Article 2, judicial branch, Article 3. And Article 1 establishes what is a bicameral, that is a two-house Congress, a House of Representatives and a Senate. Now, the House of Representatives was popularly elected. It represents the people of a certain district within that state. And, of course, we'll talk later about how that is divided up in terms of each state receiving so many representatives and all. But the Senate is chosen by the state legislature. That is, the state legislature appointed the senators, that is, up until the ratification, which is a questionable ratification of the 17th Amendment, 1915. But the state legislatures, therefore, had a direct channel into what the federal government was doing. If the federal government was handing down a policy or trying to hand down a policy that the state did not approve of, through their senators, they could strike it down. They could say, no, we don't like this. And actually, there's many states that have voted to not allow the Patriot Act to be applied. And I know there's certain cities that have voted to say, in our city, Patriot Act is not going to be applied, and certain states have attempted, or some of them have done that as well. Well, the Patriot Act never would have passed in the first place if the 17th Amendment wasn't in effect. That is, if senators were chosen and appointed by the state legislature. So if a senator went to Washington, D.C., and he began to do something that the state that he was representing, the state legislature he was representing, did not like, they could immediately remove him and replace him with someone else. They could say, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to Washington, D.C. to do what the special interests persuade you to do, or what your party leadership there tells you to do. No, you're going to Washington, D.C. to do our will, the will of the state legislature. And this was a very important and very powerful check upon the federal government.
And, you know, I think that is such an important point, David. Most people don't understand that there have always been those who wanted to convert us from a republic to a democracy, where of course, then the elected representatives could be bought and paid for by special interests. If the senator represented the state, he couldn't be bought and paid for by special interests. He was subservient to the state legislature. You'd have to buy up all the members of the state legislature. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot harder to do than simply to purchase the support of an individual senator. And, of course, these people get fabulous amounts of money, and they have to have fabulous amounts of money to run for political office. So passing the 17th Amendment, which did away with the which allowed the direct election of senators, and this was back in 1913, was a stepping stone along the way towards bringing us towards a tyrannical society. Believe me, these forces that are intent upon a dictatorship in America have been here since the inception of our country, but now at long last they're moving to move all power to the central government in the name of protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who, of course, headed al-Qaeda, which has been financed by the CIA. We've created the best enemy money could buy so we can enslave our own people. But go right ahead, David.
And so the system worked well. If you were to look at the size of the federal government, both in terms of departments, programs, and budget, it was very small and very limited up to that point, 1913. And you look at it afterwards, and the federal government exploded in terms of budget, in terms of programs, in terms of size, in terms of power. And basically, it reduced the states down to a level of servitude, or, you know, being a little subdivision of the federal government, no longer having any significant power whatsoever, which is the exact opposite of what our founders designed. If you doubt what I say, go to the Federalist Papers, and you can read them online, or pick up a book at any bookstore, the Federalist Papers, and read Federalist Number 45, where it clearly stated that the states were to have more power than the federal government. Today, it's the opposite.
We'll be back in just a moment here with the American Student Athlete.
The This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self-Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to celebrate Shavuot 2009, Sunday, May the 31st at North Shore Park of Lake Loveland, Loveland, Colorado at the Amphitheater from 10 until 5 p.m. Bring your own picnic lunch and drink. No glass containers are allowed in the facility. Bring a blanket, umbrella, and protection from the sun. Special guest speaker will be Dr. Frank Morgan, Obadiah Frank. Praise and worship music by the Beth Messiah Band, the Intercourt Dancers, Voice of Many Waters, and a special concert by Michael Golden. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Hog Sameach.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess this morning, Pastor David Whitney, we're on the last segment of our program. David, pick up the story.
Well, the design for a two houses of Congress was actually the result of one of the great compromises that took place in the Constitutional Convention, and Roger Sherman was the one who suggested this, and his idea was that if you have the small states, of course, want equal representation with the large states in terms of population, that is. And, of course, the large states want more representation because they're going to pay a bigger piece of the tax bill. And so how do you solve this? Because there was a loggerheads, in a sense, between the small states and the large states wanting the bulk of the power. And the way to do this was a compromise that, obviously, in the Senate, all states have equal representation. They have two senators, whether their population is extremely small, like the state of Alaska, or their population is extremely large, like the state of California. So in that house, all states have equal representation. But in the House of Representatives, the representation is proportional. That is, the larger states have more representatives, the smaller states have fewer based upon their population, which is why the census is important to determine what that population base is that will determine the representation in the House of Representatives. In a sense, there's also a parallel here to English Parliament, because the English Parliament had two houses, the House of Commons being the more popular house, similar to our House of Representatives, the Senate, similar to, in some sense, the House of Lords, and more deliberative and so on. Well, requiring two houses pass a bill before it becomes law would cool hothead legislation and provide additional time for reflection, especially since senators are chosen differently and their terms are staggered on a six-year basis, whereas the congressmen, the representatives, are elected every 2 years. They stand for election. And the reality is a bicameral legislature may thwart the will of the majority. That is, the majority of people in America might want something, and this bicameral structure may actually thwart the will of that majority. And the founders thought this was something that it should do. This was a design because they rightly distrusted popular majorities. In fact, they were very clear, if you read their statements on what they said about democracy. Democracy is one of the worst forms of government. It's a mobocracy. I think Benjamin Rush is the one who coined that term, a mobocracy, a rule of the mob. And by the way, they could just look across the pond at that point in time and see mobocracy in action there in the bloody French Revolution. They established a constitutional republic, not a democracy. A republic is very different in that the Republican government is indirect. It's through representatives that we do not directly vote on laws and create legislation. We, instead, through our representatives, see that take place. Democracy is when, or pure democracy is when people directly are making the laws themselves. In a republic, furthermore, the law is supreme. Not 51% of the people who vote, which in a democracy, that's the case. If 51% of the people say that, you know, kill all brown-eyed people, that's what the law is. Well, 51% of the people say that's the law. That's the law. It doesn't matter. There is no supreme law that is a standard by which all laws are judged and by which all men, including the leaders, presidents, senators, congressmen, and Supreme Court, there's no supreme law by which all men are judged in a democracy. The law in a democracy is whatever 51% of the people who have the power to vote and do vote, whatever they say it is, that's what the law is. And by the way, that's not a very safe form of government if you happen to be in the minority. You know, if you happen to be a brown-eyed person and you're in the minority and most of the people are blue-eyed, they say, yeah, let's kill all brown-eyed people. Well, your life is no longer secure in such a system of government. It's not a safe system of government at all because it doesn't have a higher standard of law, the laws of nature and nature's God, by which to measure what is just and right. And also in a republic, the minority's rights are always protected. And the majority may not violate those rights. In a democracy, there's no such protection of the minority rights, and the majority rule is absolute. And pity you if you happen to be on the wrong side of that equation and you're in the minority position. Well, that's Section 1 of Article 1, establishing the bicameral legislature and the details there. Sections 2 through 6 of Article 1 provide for the composition of the House and the Senate and establishes the authority of each House to determine its own procedures, its own discipline. Section 6 actually ensures that congressmen shall be free to discuss all matters in free discussion and protects them from being sued for what they say on the floor of Congress, which is an interesting provision that if they could not be protected, well, then they might not be so free to discuss all the matters in free debate. And also that it preserves the separation of powers, providing that no congressman may simultaneously hold another federal office. If he's a congressman, he must have that and no other office in the federal government. He can't have an office in the Pentagon, a position of profit, or in any other office of the government. Otherwise, it would provide a conflict of interest on his part. Section 7 of Article 1 deals with the legislative process. Revenue bills will always originate in the House, that is, from those representing the people. The Senate, of course, must concur with that revenue bill for it to pass forward to the president's desk. Legislation always starts in Congress. President really can only suggest or give ideas. He really cannot be the originator of any legislation, which brings into question the whole idea of the presidential directives or what we might call presidential edicts these days that that seem to be governing much of what happens in our country. And that is a violation of this structure. The legislative branch is the only branch of government that is to make laws, not the president. He can only suggest. And, of course, the president can veto a bill. This implies a veto of the whole bill, not a line item veto, which I know has been debated back and forth time to time. And part of the problem in a federal system today is that legislative bills are loaded with so many things that do not relate to the actual initial purpose of the bill, the riders and so on, that, you know, it's a mess. And really Congress should do what many states, including our state, does, that each bill must focus on one subject alone. It can have no amendments unless the amendments relate to that subject and that subject alone. So the mess that we have today is basically that in the wisdom of our founders, they did not restrict how bills were to be crafted in the legislative process, which would have been wise if they had done so. Well, so there's no line item veto envisioned by our founders that the president would have, but the president can veto a bill. However, Congress may override that veto. It takes two-thirds of each House to override a presidential veto.
Okay, well, we're out of time, David. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward. I think you're with us this afternoon. So.
All right. God bless. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment. Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the KHNC discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
A prom or graduation should never be ruined by a drunk driver. Someone who has overdone it should never attempt to drive after a party. Don't let it be your child. Make this a time that's safe for everyone. That message courtesy of Elizabeth Locker Plant Incorporated at 366 Grant Street in Elizabeth, specializing in naturalized aged beef and pork and complete custom processing. For the highest quality, call Elizabeth Locker Plant at 688-2240. That's 688-2240. They've been serving our area since 1943, and the Hunsley family are on the air because they care.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, I hope you enjoy our monthly interviews with David. He does most of the talking, which is fine, because what he says is important. You must learn the Constitution. You must treasure the Constitution. You must help us teach the Constitution. Go to the Institute on the Constitution website, IOTConline.com. Get their information and help us spread it across America. We've got a great four-tape set on the foundations of our freedom. We actually carry the freedom documents. They're put together by Chuck Baldwin. They're the basic documents upon which our Constitution, our way of life is based, starting with the Mayflower Compact, going all the way up to Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. But these basic documents, Chuck Baldwin did a great job putting them together. We call them the freedom documents, I believe. Anyway, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you value freedom, you have to have this information. You have to study it. You have to help us get it out to others. There's been an organized effort to distort the reality of our people, to get them all wound up in sports, get them wound up in television programs, and so we won't be able to see what's happening as our freedoms are progressively taken away from us. How do we understand what's happening? You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to hear my talk on the forbidden secret, which will introduce you into the secret societies that are intent upon creating a one-world government, a one-world economic system, a one-world currency, and a one-world religion. Because behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces that hate the God of the Bible. When you understand that, so much of it makes sense. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, please go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can watch our DVDs, listen to our radio programs on a regular basis or archived. You can certainly read our newsletters. You can get other people to get started getting educated, because you're not going to get a real understanding of what's going on from general sources. We need your help to get the truth out. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget the Conspiracy Conference on June 6th and 7th, Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be in Santa Clara. And you can simply go to their website, conspiracycon.com. conspiracycon.com. And give me a call. We'll give them a call, and You make your reservations. There's a special reduced rate. I think it's on for another 2 days or 3 days, and then it goes to full rate. So if you want to get the pre-registration, the pre-conference discount, this is the time to do it. And then, of course, remember, we are having a conference here in the Monterey Bay area on the 25th of October. That'll be a Sunday. Great time to come to Monterey Bay. And, of course, as always, we'll have a great, great turnout. Certainly, if you've not seen our latest, pardon me, heard our latest 4-CD set, it's called Deadly Assassins, and you'll hear my interviews with a couple of CIA-trained assassins. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we do train assassins, and they do kill American people. One of the men was assigned the task of killing a political candidate. He didn't do it, and that's why he got into trouble with the agency, but he was told to kill a political candidate. And this sort of thing really does go on in America. And, of course, the man who gave the order happened to be a president of the United States, and a man who was the president, was the father of another president of the United States. You need to get this information. You need to understand what's really going on today. We are dealing with organized evil on a scale never before encountered. Get the information. Find out. Check. Could it really be true? And then join us in this spiritual battle for the souls of men. I will have Christmas presentation.